The demands of the supermarkets, he thinks, are poisoning our land, and we urgently need a new ministry to regulate food quality. Man should try to control a little less, he says, and like the beaver, nibble and potter a little more. He is Richard Mabey. Richard, we take the attitude, of course, that we, man, are supreme. We're in charge, and that we should manage that relationship, our relationship with nature. That's not how you see it, is it?
No, sir, it's not. I think that we've taken this particularly arrogant position for rather too long. The position that's personified, if you like, in the word of steward, the assumption that we are not just in charge, but that we know best about how the natural world should regulate itself. And certainly, I think most of my life, both in what I enjoy experiencing about the natural world and what I've tried to write about it, is concerned with giving nature a bit of a free hand, of actually rejoicing in the kind of creativity that it can provide.
Do you mean like the deep greens in the States who believe in totally hands-off, just let it do what it does?
Not entirely like them, no, because I think that human beings are part of the natural world, not actually necessarily in charge of it, but that we are creatures of the of nature as well, and that we have a right to, as you put it, nibble away like beavers. And I think it would be very sad if we stopped doing that.
Can you give me an example of what you mean by that?
Well, yes. When I was doing Flora Britannica, we had an absolutely delightful story from a woman in Yorkshire about a landmark tree that was called Nellie's Tree. And she told us the story about how her father, when he was growing up in Yorkshire in the 1930s, used to be courting a woman in the next village and used to walk 5 miles there along a deserted railway track every night. And one evening, in a particularly ardent mood, he noticed that there were three saplings of beeches growing along the edge of the railway track, and he decided to make a memento or memorial to his beloved out of them, and he spliced them into the form of an N, and the grafts took, and 30 years later this immense N shaped out of living beeches actually grows in the landscape there.
It's still there.
And everybody knows it as Nellie's Tree.
Desert Island Discs Revisited, on Sundays at 10:15 in the morning and again in the evening at 9:15 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, from 1969, a hapless alert as those men from the ministry are at it again, the silly scamps.
Time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service, men whose bread and butter depends on their sober and dignified manner, men indeed who hold themselves half aloof from the hurly-burly of life, for they realise that half aloof is better than no bread. As our story opens, we go as usual to the General Assistance Department, where today we find that eager young executive, Richard Lamb, hunched over a drawing board.
Cool, Mr. Lamb. You're in early this morning. Or haven't you gone home from last night?
Hello, Mildred. I came in early because there's something I want to work out in my head. I've got a little problem.
Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Lamb. Lots of men have a bald patch.
That's not the problem, Mildred.
You've been sketching. Some kind of plan or design. What is it?
It's Mrs. Bratby's back gate.
Oh, Mrs. Bratby's your landlady, isn't she?
That's right.
3 foot wide, gravy stains on her apron and ears like jug handles.
Mildred, that's not fair. She doesn't wear an apron.
Well, what's wrong with her back gate?
Well, she's got this dog, you see. She's, how shall I put it? A lady dog.
A bitch.
Mildred, please. She's called Princess, poor little thing.
Well, what's the matter with her?
It's the way the other dogs pester her. Especially one great grey brute over the way. A real cur. He sits outside and barks and howls all day.
Why?
Yes. Well, you see, he wants to... pester her.
Oh, yeah. You mean he wants to get friendly?
Yes. Horrid, isn't it? And he's ferocious. Twice he's been over our back gate and Mrs. Bratby's had to drive him off with the broom.
That was brave of her.
Not only her, Mildred. I masterminded the whole operation from my bedroom window.
Who said chivalry was dead?
Anyway, he won't get over again. I've designed this huge new gate so Princess will be safe.
It's a lovely drawing, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, and I've painted it too. Just like an architect's plan.
And you're going to have big blue roses up the side.
No, those are thumb marks. I spilt some paint.
Oh. Well, it certainly looks safe enough. It's higher than the house. And all those bars and spikes.
And nothing will move it. We can't be too careful, Mildred.
Just one thing.
Yeah?
How do you and Mrs. Bradbury get in and out?
How do we get in and... Oh, yes. Ah, well, back to the old drawing board. Oh, this coffee's not very strong and it's stone cold.
Oh, that's not coffee, Mr. Lamb. It's the water you've been washing your brushes in.
Oh, I must do something, Mildred. Mrs. Bradby's going away tomorrow. I'll have to bring Princess to the office and keep an eye on her. I can't have that wretched cur from up the road making her miserable.
Yeah, that's your phone, Mr. Lamb.
Oh, I can't think straight today for worrying about poor Princess. Hello?
Ministry of Defence here. I want the General Assistance Department.
This is it. Well, I'm a bit of it.
Oh, good. Have you made a decision?
Made a decision? Oh, yes, I made one only last week.
Good, excellent.
But I changed my mind. Those pink socks don't go with a pinstripe.
I think I'd better talk to the young lady. It was a Miss Murfin I spoke to last time.
Oh, Mildred, it's for you. A chap from the Ministry of Defence. Is it personal? Shall I leave the room?
Oh, no, it'll be the Admiral. He's been bothering me for days. Ah. Good morning, sir. This is Mildred Murfin, to whom you are addressing.
Vice Admiral Kerr, yeah? I've had no decision yet about this boat.
Oh, about the lovely lady?
Yes.
Well, it's not up to me to make a decision, sir. That's for the top people here. I'm trying to get you an answer as quick as possible.
Well, this is very urgent, you know. I'll ring back.
Ready-ho, sir. Oh, I'm fed up with that man. He keeps ringing me up about his lovely lady.
I suppose he just wants to share his happiness.
What? No, Mr. Lamb, lovely lady's a boat. A catch.
Oh, I see.
The one that went right round the world, sailed by a woman on her own. The first woman to do it.
Oh, yes, Gladys Colchester.
Yeah.
I remember. She lost all her charts and went round twice by mistake.
Yeah, well, the Admiral wants to put her on display. Give the public a chance to look her over.
Can't think why she looks so awful. Red face, huge hips, and bottoms up tattooed on her arm. Still, I suppose that's better than having arms up tattooed on her...
Mr. Lowe! It's the boat that's going on display, not the woman.
Oh, I see.
We got to find a site for lovely lady to go on show. I was to consult lots of people and get Mr. LB to make a decision.
Why wasn't I told about this?
It came up last week when you and Mr. LB were off.
So Mr. Lennox Brown doesn't know about this boat business either?
No, I'm not heard back from the Ministry of Works yet, so there was no point in telling him.
To tell you the truth, I scarcely know what's going on in this place. I've been so worried about Princess.
Oh, blimey, not the dog again.
She's so defenceless, Mildred. She can never relax.
Yeah, well, it's time I relaxed. I'm off to buy some nail polish. I'm sick and tired of the rotten old Admiral. Day in, day out.
Morning, Mildred.
Oh, morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
My word, you look rather cross.
Yeah, well, things get on top of you, don't they?
Poor Mildred. Oh, and you don't look very happy, too. What's it all about?
It's the injustice of it that riles me. Why should she be pestered the whole time?
Oh, just a minute. Who was pestering her?
That big brute over the way.
Really? By George, no wonder Mildred's upset.
We've been discussing it, Mum.
Yes, well, surely she can look after herself.
But how can she? She's such a helpless little thing.
Oh, well, not that little, surely.
Sometimes she leaps into my arms and lies there quivering. I can feel her little heart going thump, thump, thump.
George, this is serious, too.
And when she does that, I know he's been after her, hanging round, staring at her with his great bloodshot eyes.
Well, what does he want?
Isn't it obvious? I mean, you know, the birds and the bees.
Good gracious, you mean he's tried to molest her?
I don't think he's succeeded yet. He just stands there slobbering with his tongue hanging out.
Disgraceful. Have you spoken to him?
I tried to decoy him with a biscuit.
A biscuit? Well, what did he do?
He sniffed it, scratched himself, and then did something rather nasty.
He should be reported, locked up.
I told the police, but it seems as long as he's got his collar on, there's nothing they can do.
Isn't that just typical of today? Yes, well, I'll have to talk to him.
Talking's no good. I spent over an hour shouting at him this morning and waving my umbrella.
Oh, what happened?
He bared his teeth. I thought he was going to bite her.
He's an animal.
That's no excuse.
And, did he bite her?
I pulled her back in time.
Oh, well, you better ask poor Mildred to bring us some coffee.
Poor Mildred? She's out. I'll fetch it. It'll take my mind off that brute. White for you, one?
Yes, veering towards black. I need something strong after what you've told me. Who did you say this dirty dog is?
That filthy cur over the way. Chambellong, one.
Oh, poor Mildred. Yes, I won't have it. I must stop outsiders pestering my staff. That's my job. General Assistant Department, Lennox Brown.
May I speak to Miss Murphy, please?
Who is that?
Ministry of Defence. My name's Kerr.
What? Kerr, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, I've heard about you from my assistant. Filthy Kerr, he calls you.
I don't understand. I'm Vice Admiral Kerr.
Vice Admiral, eh? Yes, I'm very apt, if I may say so, sir. Oh, my word, yes.
I was in contact with Miss Murphin earlier.
In contact, eh? It went as far as that?
I beg your pardon?
And so you should, sir, so you should.
I'm ringing about the lovely lady.
I gathered that.
She's been on my mind for some time, several weeks, in fact. But nothing's been done yet.
You give me your word on that? Nothing's been done?
Is Miss Murphin there? I want Miss Murphin.
I'm sure you do. But she's not in.
I want her urgently.
She is not here.
What should I do?
Just leave her alone, sir.
I'm sorry.
Your apologies don't ring true. You're dealing with a man now, you know.
I must get the lovely lady sorted out in the next 24 hours. She's important, you know. She shouldn't be messed around.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say so.
She's been through the mill, seen a lot of service.
Oh, she's done good work, yes.
Well, in her time, she's given pleasure to a lot of sailors.
How dare you, sir?
Now, you see, I want to set her up somewhere.
Money won't buy her, sir.
Well, I don't need to buy her. She's already public property.
Oh! You blackguard!
I've tried her in some places already. Last week, I had her down by the docks. Yeah. The week before, I had her at Greenwich. Neither of them really satisfactory. Didn't draw the crowds. There isn't the interest there, you see. They've seen it all before. Of course, there's lots of places I could set her up. Abroad, perhaps. The Americans always like that kind of thing. What do you think?
What do I think? What do I think? I think you will not take her abroad, sir. Nor will you take her anywhere. Her place is in Whitehall, do you hear me? She's to stay here in Whitehall.
In Whitehall? Are you sure? Is that your final word on the lovely lady's future?
It is, sir. She'll stay here in Whitehall, and I shall personally watch over her welfare.
Seems odd. Still, I was told to accept your decision. Whitehall it is, then. Goodbye.
Well, let's put him in his place. And if ever I lay hands on him, I shall give him a thrashing.
Lovely little doggy then.
Don't get her overexcited, Mildred.
Oh, is you nervous then? Does you want you tummy tickled?
Yes, I am, but not just now, thanks. Princess must have her morning feed before LB gets here.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like dogs, does he?
No, Sir Gregory's Alsatian bit him once. Had to have medical attention.
Mr. Lennox Brown?
No, the Alsatian. Oh, it was quite a nasty wound. LB stood there with blood running down his leg. Honestly, if Sir Gregory weren't our boss, I'd think LB would have stopped smiling at him.
I hope Princess likes this bowl I brought her. It's a pity it's marked Bonzo. It was the only dog bowl in the shop.
I suppose we could change her name. I don't think she'd approve, though.
I'll look out of the window. Watch out for Mr. LB.
Thank you, Mildred.
Oh! They're putting up scaffolding in the middle of Whitehall.
Scaffolding? I wonder which of the government they're going to hang.
Oh, how awful. They wouldn't, would they? Here, do you think they'll let us watch? Here, you're teasing.
Yes, I'm afraid so, Mildred. It must be for that boat that sailed round the world. It's in this morning's paper.
Oh, let's see. Lovely lady to be permanently on show in Whitehall. Ooh, that's the boat the Admiral was on about.
He must have got his decision somewhere else. Seems a pretty odd one.
Daft, I call it. The scaffolding blocks the road. There's a queue of traffic right down Whitehall. Here, the state procession to Parliament tomorrow. All the big wigs will have to cycle along the pavement.
Some fools blundered, I suppose. Thank heavens that sort of thing doesn't happen in our department.
Yeah, that the dog food, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, new improved Dogginosh, it's called. Flavoured to taste like a postman's ankle.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
According to the tin, it's fish scraps and horse meat and offal with added shark liver oil.
Yeah, Mr. Lamb, look at this note Mr. LB left on me desk.
Does he want you to go to the betting shop?
No. It says, shall be in early tomorrow, that's today, to prevent Vice Admiral Kerr molesting you. I've told him your place is in Whitehall. You won't be pestered again by that filthy Kerr.
It's all right, Princess. We're talking about another Kerr. You're quite safe.
Fancy calling the Admiral that filthy Kerr. Seems a bit strong.
I suppose, that is, there couldn't be any connection, could there? I told LB about Princess being pestered by that filthy cur, and he got very cross. Kept talking about poor Mildred.
Oh, and you think that he thinks that you meant me.
What? Say that slowly, Mildred.
Well, he told Kerr her place is in Whitehall, and that stupid old Admiral's put the boat in Whitehall and stopped all the traffic.
Oh, dear, that means that... What does that mean, Mildred?
It means when Mr. LB sees the boat in Whitehall and finds you with a dog in the office, he'll put two and two together. He'll realise you dropped this horrible clanger because of you.
No. You're right, Mildred. He'll hit me with the in tray just when I was losing the scar from last time. What can we do? He'll get me transferred to archives at Ballymucket.
Now, steady, Mr. Lamb. You'll have to keep him from seeing the dog. Then he'll never know what happens.
Yes, he mustn't see the dog. Where can she go? Fireplace? Waste paper basket?
Now, don't panic. It's lucky you got big, strong drawers.
Yes. What?
Your filing cabinet. We'll put her in the drawer of your filing cabinet.
Yes, that's it. Come along, Princess. Come with Uncle Richard.
Oh, why that drawer up there, Mr. Lamb?
Well, it's marked D. D for dog, you see.
No. Put her in the lowest one.
The one marked Z? Oh, very cunning, Mildred. That'll put LB off the scent.
Mr. LB said he'd be early. I'd better get out of the way before he starts asking me awkward questions.
Now, you keep quiet in there, Princess, and be a good dog. Mind you don't bark or be a bad dog.
Morning, Tool.
Morning, man.
Odd business out in the street. They're putting up scaffolding and platforms and things.
Oh, are they? Yes. Probably building a water pipe or a burst flyover. Or...
Yes, well, it's nothing to do with us, thank goodness. Two, what's that on your desk?
What's what?
Well, that bowl filled with... Dear me, it looks like fish scraps and muck.
Yes, it does look like fish scraps and... it is fish scraps and... Oh, dear.
Well, what is it?
It's my breakfast.
Breakfast?
Yes, Mrs. Bratby's away, you see, so I brought a packed breakfast.
Well, why is the bowl marked Bonzo?
That isn't Bonzo. It's B-O-N-Z-O. That's Boys' Own National Zoological Organization.
Oh, dear, it smells awful. And are you really going to eat it?
Yes. That is, I was, but as you're here...
No, you know, you carry on. No, this I've
no,
got
well,
to see.
Perhaps, no, I mustn't be greedy.
Now, eat up, too. If that's your breakfast, you need it. Go on, now, eat it.
What?
Eat it, too.
Very tasty. Much nicer than cornflakes.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't fancy it. It smells of cod liver oil.
Shark liver oil, actually.
I say you've got a funny colour, too. Well, eat up. You're probably hungry. That's the trouble.
I've almost finished.
What did you say?
Nothing, man. I coughed.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
I coughed again, you know. I saw my doctor yesterday. He said I had an awful bark.
Yes, doesn't sound too good, I must say. Almost like a dog barking. Yes, I'm jolly glad it isn't. Don't much care for dogs.
No, I remember.
Yes, old Rudge at the Board of Trade had a dog. Greyhound it was. Used to race it, you know. But the dog always beat him.
Nasty, insensitive animals.
Yes, Oh, yes, the doctor said I had a wheeze to my chest, you know.
Dear me, too. You'd better take one of those pills.
Pills?
Yeah, well, they're on your desk.
These pills? Yeah. No, they're not for me. They're for later.
Good gracious me, you better have one now, too. No. I can't have my staff away ill.
I can't have one now. They're for before me.
Oh, don't worry about silly details like that. Turn over here. Wait a minute. Let me see what it says on the bottle now. Place on the back of the tongue. Yes. Hold jaw closed. Then massage throat till pill is swallowed.
Yeah, don't read any more. I'll take it, yes. I'll swallow it. No need for a fuss. There, it's down.
Yes, you should watch the weather, too. Get yourself a new coat.
After that, I should be getting a lovely glossy coat quite soon.
General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown.
Ministry of Defense, Vice Admiral Kerr here.
Again? I thought I told you to leave Miss Murfin alone.
I shan't trouble Miss Murfin. I realize I've been a bit of a bother to her.
Indeed you have, sir.
So I'll get what I want from you.
What?
I want to confirm that point we discussed. Make absolutely sure.
Well, what point was that?
The lovely lady. Now, you did say her place was in Whitehall.
I did. She must stay here.
Yes. It might be tricky. Various aspects, you know, various reasons. Tricky.
Tricky. In what way, may I ask?
Well, we may get hooligans carving their initials on her stern.
Good Lord, you've started again.
There's a small boy stuffing toffee papers up her clinkers.
Have you no shame at all?
Yes, and I've also had complaints of her poop deck stopping the traffic.
Your mind is a cesspool, sir.
I really don't understand you, Mr. Lennox Brown. However, there is another matter for your department to deal with. It's the aircraft carrier HMS Princess.
What? Aircraft carrier?
Yes, HMS Princess.
Huh?
We've to find a new berth for her. An anchorage for a few weeks before the NATO exercise.
Oh.
But as you seem preoccupied, I'll leave it till later, or perhaps ask your assistant. Goodbye.
Am I going mad? Or is he?
I've worked it all out, Mildred.
Oh, you startled me, Mr. Lamb. I was writing me article for the staff magazine. I wish I could think of a title.
Never mind the staff magazine, Mildred. I've solved our problem.
Well, good. I thought you'd be there all day with that ice bag on your head.
I couldn't find an ice bag. I had to make do with this block of strawberry ice cream.
Oh, is that what it is? I wondered why your hair had gone all pink.
Still, I've got the answer. We'll ring Admiral Kerr and say the boat mustn't go in Whitehall. Tell him LB made a mistake.
Yeah?
We'll say LB's been working too hard.
He'll never believe that.
It's all right. We'll say LB's gone funny. Doesn't know what he's doing.
Now that he will believe. Yeah, we can work on that.
LB need never know anything happened.
Well, he might still see the dog. I suppose you had to bring Princess with you again.
Yes, but I'm going to take her down to St. James's Park. I'll let that nice park keeper look after her during the day. You know, the one who saved me when I was attacked by that duck.
St. James's Park, eh? That's a good idea.
Right.
Ah, Miss Murfin. My name's Kerr, Ministry of Defence. We've talked on the phone, haven't we?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, and you must be Lennox Brown.
No, Admiral, I'm Richard Lamb. I was going to ring you. Mr. Lennox Brown's been... How shall I put it?
Put away.
Yes, he's been put away. He's been overworking, you know, great strain.
Yeah. He went funny in the head. He started poaching eggs in his bowler hat.
Milton.
Then he said he was a poached egg. And he attacked anyone who argued.
That'll do, Mildred.
Good heavens, I am sorry. Mind you, this explains a lot.
I mean, that boat you're putting on display, we didn't want it in Whitehall. It should have gone on the Thames.
Oh, yes. I felt something was odd. My naval training, you know. Poor chap.
Yes, we once had a fellow at Jib. Same trouble. Commander-in-chief, he was. Used to hide down the ship's gun barrel. And just before the exercise, he'd pop his head out and say, bang.
I suppose he was fired in the end.
No, they kept him on. Said they didn't often have men of that caliber. Anyway, purpose of my visit, Miss Murfin, I brought you these chocolates. I felt I'd been a bit of a burden to you, you know.
Thank you very much, sir.
Not at all. So, you'll be in charge of the department now, eh?
Oh, will I? Yes, I suppose I will.
Yes, I don't suppose you've decided where to put Princess yet.
Princess? Yes, I've got just the place for her. St. James's Park.
St. James's Park?
Yes.
Put Princess in St. James's Park?
Just for a week or two.
For the exercise?
Yes, for the exercise. And, of course, for security reasons.
Oh, yes, of course. I understand, yes. Security. Well done.
She mustn't be seen by you-know-who.
Oh, of course. That's dashed clever, you ministry chaps. Okay. I congratulate you. Damn shrewd move, lamb. Princess to St. James's Park, eh? Shall be done.
And here is the news read by John Curl. Drama in St. James's Park, London. When the park was unlocked at dawn this morning, park keepers were surprised to find an aircraft carrier moored in the lake. In the House of Commons, there were complaints about the noise of aircraft taking off and landing on the carrier. The Prime Minister said the lake was not really his concern, but he would go into it. The disturbance has caused the park's rare crested heron to leave its nest with one egg in it. The House set up a committee to consider how this egg might be hatched, and the Prime Minister agreed to sit on it. A spokesman said, if the present scheme was a success, the rest of Britain's fleet may soon begin exercises on the Serpentine.
But I assure you, Admiral, I didn't know anything about this aircraft carrier.
But the PM's been on to me. You've made us the laughingstock.
What again?
But what's to be done? Who carries the can? Now, you distinctly said St. James's Park, Lamb. You can't blame Lennox Brown this time. You told me he's been put away.
Morning. Sorry I'm late. Big crowds in the park. I asked a keeper. He said some idiot's put an aircraft carrier on the lake. As if I believe him.
I know that voice. You're Lennox Brown.
Hello, one. So you escaped?
Escaped? What do you mean, escaped? Who's this?
I'm Admiral Kerr.
Kerr? You? Ah, I hear you brought Miss Murphy chocolates. Ah, now you're pestering her again, eh? My word, I must say. You're pretty hard-boiled.
Oh, hard-boiled, yes. And you're beautifully poached.
I'll teach you a lesson, you lecher. I've dealt with some bad eggs in my time.
No, but... my dear, sir, don't get excited. Here's a nice bit of toast. Why not sit down on it, eh?
Remove your jacket, sir. Put up your fists on it. What's all this about toast and poached eggs?
Let's not get violent, one. She'll give the chocolates back, won't you, Mildred?
Yeah, they're in here.
Not that one, Mildred. Princess is in there. She wouldn't stay in the park.
What's this? A dog in the office?
I can explain, one. She's my aircraft carrier.
What?
I mean, she's the boat Mrs. Bratby sailed round the world. Right. I mean, the Admiral's princess.
Get down, you brute. Am I going out of my mind? You're behind all this, aren't you?
Let go of my throat, sir, or you'll go back in the saucepan.
Don't you talk about saucepan.
Here, Mr. Lamb. Yes. I thought of a title for me article.
Yes, Mildred.
Yeah, a typical day at the ministry.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald and John Graham. The programme was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.
Next week, the bumbling civil servant secretary is being lured away, possibly on the point of their being hapless. This year's BBC Wreath Lectures over on BBC Radio 4 are being given by the award-winning author Hilary Mantel on the role that history plays in our culture. And here on 4 Extra you can hear some of her work which embodies that very idea. A Place of Greater Safety is her gripping account of the cataclysmic events of the French Revolution, seen through the eyes of three of its most important figures, Georges Danton, Maximilien Robespierre